So, growing up in suburban Maryland, I was always like a very passive participant of my Chinese upbringing. My family would be like, oh, we're going to temple. Okay. Oh, we have to pray. It's a full moon. Okay. I didn't really care that much until all four of my grandparents passed each year in high school. So let me tell you a little bit about my dad. My dad is the second oldest of five children. His oldest sibling is his brother, who we call Uncle Abet. They grew up at pretty parallel lives. They both immigrated to America about the same time. They both opened Chinese carryouts. Both their wives worked at the carryouts. They worked 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, super hard workers. And then all that changed when Abet had a dream. And Chinese people, when you have a dream, you take it very seriously. Like, if it's memorable. So what happens is we have this pink book, and there's like thousands of items in them. And when you have a vivid dream, you go in this book, and you look up those objects that you remember, and they correspond to numbers. And you might have guessed it, you buy those numbers in the lottery. Yeah. And so my uncle did this when he had this vivid dream, and he won the lottery. But he didn't win like $50 million or anything, but he won like $1 million, which is still like a good chunk of change. Like, that's a lot of money. And so after this, like, he of course buys a new house, buys a new car, sells the carryout. I always remember this one day he shows up and he's decked out in a new Rolex, and he looks at me and he's like, do you know this brand? Armani? But the biggest change in him really happened when my dad started coming back home really frustrated, because up until that point, you know, all five children were splitting the responsibilities of taking our grandparents to the doctors, a ma and a ye. And my dad would come home frustrated. I'm like, what's wrong? And he said that, you know, Abet started shirking his responsibilities and started not going to, you know, their appointments and things like that. So my dad was taking that on and it was weighing on him pretty heavily. And then all this comes to a head August 2007. I'm a freshman in high school. My grandfather, a year, passes away. This was my first Buddhist funeral. It was quite a long funeral. Have you guys ever been to an 8-hour long funeral? Yeah. So there's a monk, and there's a lot of chanting. We're all wearing white, and yes, not wearing black. Black is bad luck. If you wear white to a Chinese wedding, that means death. Not a good idea. Don't do that. But then there's this monk, and he's chanting and chanting and chanting. And it takes forever, because when he like addresses the family, he needs to address the entire family tree. And so he reads it from like grandma all the way to my youngest cousin, and then says his sentence and then does that every other sentence. And so we're there for like 8 hours. There's no intermission, no food. So we are done. And we get back to my grandmother's house, and we can't eat yet. So we're all sitting, by we all, I mean my cousins and I, we're all sitting in the living room, kind of like drenched in incense smoke and staring at my grandfather's face at the, in the shrine and everything, and just being really sad and solemn and hungry. And we're listening to the adults sitting in the dining room, which is actually the same room, but it's right there. And we're eavesdropping, and we're listening to them talk about the funeral costs. And Aye was like the patriarch of the Li family, so we, of course, spared no cost for him. Like, we went all out. And there quickly became two sides of it. My dad and his sister, the third oldest, they were saying, you know, we oldest three should split it. We've made the most of our lives. We can shoulder that responsibility. And then you have Abet, who, again, remembers the oldest, and so his opinion kind of weighs a little heavier, saying, no, all five children should split it. That's only fair. And of course, we're listening, and me and my cousin are all looking at each other like, that does not sound fair, because well, another one of our aunts literally gave up her entire life to take care of Ama, Aye, and their youngest sister, our last aunt, who has a mental disability. And she's lived her entire life on disability. And don't forget, Abet just won the lottery. So, like, that didn't really sound that fair. And so Daegu is this, like, little tiger mom. And so she's, like, talking up to Abet, like, trying to talk some sense into him. And then my dad's the calm one, trying to like, just be like, guys, calm down, agreeing with Daegu, but, like, just trying to facilitate a conversation. And then Abet does this, like, Chinese argument tactic where you look around the room and you try to recruit someone onto your side. And so he looks at Carla, who is my brother's new wife. They just got married, and she's the first Caucasian to marry into her family. And this is like her first family gathering. So she's like deer in the headlights, like, oh my God, he's talking to me. And so up until this point, everything was in Chinese, but he switches to English, and he's like, you know what I'm saying? And I don't even know what he says. But he doesn't get very far until my dad, like, just kirks out and is like, Mo Gong, which in Chinese basically means shut up. My dad's, like, super protective, and her being the newest member of her family, he was like, do not go there. And at that point, all hell breaks loose. My cousin Stacy stands up to defend her dad a bit and is like yelling at my dad. You can't talk to him like that. He's the oldest of the family. You need to respect him. And this is the moment that everyone remembers in my family where my dad says in Chinese, I will respect him when he shows me something to respect and says nothing else the rest of the day. And, oh, yeah, snaps for that, yeah. I don't even remember the rest of the day after that. I just remember that. But I do remember the next few years were weird. we basically excommunicated Abet's family, and I was kind of sad. We were told not to invite them to things, to talk to them, or even, like, mention their name, their names. And my dad was elevated to, like, patriarch of the family, which really meant my mom was a matriarch because my mom wears the pants. That's scary. But we don't see them, Abet's family, until 4 years later when my grandmother, when Ama passes away. And we see him at the funeral. And we still don't talk to them. So it was still really awkward. But a couple months after Ama's funeral, Abet has another dream. So he comes to the family gathering, the next family gathering I have, and he apologizes. He says he had a dream where Ama came to him in his dream. So, like, if an ancestor comes to you in your dream, you listen. So he said that Grandma said, Ama said that, I don't like our family like this. Make up, be family, love each other. And so he did just that. He came back, he apologized. My aunts, being Chinese women who really know how to hold a grudge, were like, I don't want to hear any of this. But my dad was actually the first one to say, I forgive you. It's okay. Come back. And of course, him being the patriarch at the time, everyone followed suit and saw him just for Chinese New Year and all that. I think at that moment, though, that is where my dad really showed me what it means to be family. Thank you.